My name is Alicia Littletree. Like I said, this is Truth to Power, and if you noticed, there's a very quiet sound coming out of Humboldt County, and that is that all of PL logging operations have been shut down by a court order that came down yesterday, and we're going to start out the show by talking with Cynthia Elkins from Epic. Yes, that's right, you heard me right. All of PL's logging operations are shut down until the 17th of September at least, and we're going to talk about why and what happened. So we're going to do that right away. Cynthia, are you there, Cynthia?
I am. Hi.
All right. Congratulations. Are you just floating right now?
We are, actually. It's taking a while to sink in, but it's definitely good to have some good news like this.
Well, does Humboldt feel totally quiet and calm?
Actually, it's not. We've gotten several reports from residents who can see logging operations and hear them from their land, and apparently Pacific Lumber is violating the order today and has proceeded with logging plans in violation of the court's order.
So why don't you start by explaining to us what the court's order actually is and why it would result in, the court didn't order PL to shut down all their operations, right? It's kind of a different thing.
Well, it's a case that involves the infamous Headwaters deal, and people haven't heard very much about this case because although it was filed back in 1999, right after the Headwaters deal was completed, things have been just absolutely slowed down perpetually by the state. It's an administrative case, and so it relies on an administrative record. The state was first served notice to provide the administrative record for the court back in April of 1999, and here we are 3 years later, and they still haven't done that for the court. And so this effectively blocks the case from proceeding to trial, and we filed a motion for a stay in the proceeding and on all of these permits that are at issue in the case because of this perpetual delay. And the judge basically looked at this and said, look, the state is just, this is unacceptable. You've been dragging your feet for so long. You've had way more than enough time to prepare the administrative record. And in the meantime, a significant amount of harm is being done to public interest, to wildlife, to water resources, et cetera. And so you guys get your act together, and until you do, I'm going to stay all of these permits.
So the judge is saying, look, I can't make a decision unless you give me the administrative record, and they won't turn over the administrative record.
Exactly, exactly.
And tell me, we were talking about this last night when we heard the news and after I stopped screaming and jumping for joy, but what would be in the administrative record? What is this that we're talking about?
We're talking about 75,000 pages of documents. And so this not only includes the voluminous amount of comments that were received from public members, as well as the number of documents that were produced by scientists working for EPIC and the Sierra Club, but also it includes all the back and forth between the state and Pacific Lumber Company during the negotiations of the deal. It basically includes every single document that the state relied on to issue the permits to kill endangered species and et cetera that were issued under the Headwaters deal.
Right, and for those people with long-term memory, this includes the Habitat Conservation Plan, right?
That's right. Well, this is the state version, so it's actually the Sustained Yield Plan instead of the Habitat Conservation Plan.
Uh-huh.
But it includes all of the what's called incidental take permits, which is a fancy word for a permit to kill endangered species, and they received several of those for marbled murrelets and a myriad of other imperiled species. And so all of those permits are effectively stayed as well.
And then I noticed one other part of the ruling has to do with stream bed alteration agreements. So is that what it sounds like, just a permit to alter a stream bed, right?
Right. Before anyone can do anything that alters a stream bed, they have to get a permit from the Department of Fish and Game. And Pacific Lumber is the only company that I'm aware of that has such a far-reaching one. They have a blanket, what you could call a blanket agreement that applies to their entire 210,000-acre ownership.
Well, so, and what, tell us what the issues are in the case itself.
It involves a number of things. The key factors that we're challenging are the amount of marbled murrelet habitat that was authorized to be destroyed through the Headwaters deal, through the incidental take permit that was issued for marbled murrelets. We're also challenging the cumulative impact analysis, and we believe that that was wholly inadequate and that a sufficient analysis would show that the type of logging that Pacific Lumber is doing under the Habitat Conservation Plan and Sustained Yield Plan are against the public interest. And then we're also challenging the stream or the ownership-wide stream bed alteration agreement that we just discussed.
Okay, so what I'm kind of trying to get at is, do you have a chance, if in fact the administrative record of the Headwaters deal was turned over to this judge, do you think that it shows that they shouldn't have been able to get these permits and this widespread ability to destroy habitat and to alter stream beds? Do you think you have a chance of winning this case?
Absolutely, and we think that that is why the state has delayed it for so long at the behest of Pacific Lumber Company, because delay always benefits the defense, and that could not be more true in this instance. And so we have absolutely every reason to believe that we have very, very strong facts here. We have the law on our side, and we believe that once the facts are in front of the judge, then he will have no option but to rule in our favor. And what we have to prove in the case is that the agencies did not proceed according to law, and that their decisions based in their decisions of the Headwaters deal were not based on substantial evidence in the record. And so that's why you have to have the record, is because, you know, we have to have that to prove our case. It's called an administrative mandamus case, and that relies wholly on an administrative record.
And so what would it mean when you win this case? What does that mean to the Headwaters deal?
It would mean that the various permits that we're challenging would be invalidated, and that Pacific Lumber Company would no longer have the go-ahead from state agencies to kill endangered species, to be altering these stream beds, and doing the other environmental damage that they're conducting.
So for people who do remember the Headwaters deal, it seemed like not only did Charles Hurwitz, who owns Maxam Corporation and Pacific Lumber, it seems like he not only got a huge amount of money to protect the trees, but he also got this amazing sweetheart deal from the state, you know, kind of, you know, giving him everything he wanted in order to make the burden of losing Headwaters much easier for him, so he could basically log everything else on his land.
Right.
So you're not saying that they would be taking Headwaters back, Pacific Lumber would get Headwaters back. You're just saying the sweetheart deal that he got from the state would be overturned?
Right, because there was a state bill that was passed which authorized the Headwaters purchase. So that would still stand. That's in public hands. That's not going to change. And what's at issue is actually the rest of everything, what you're talking about, the sacrifice that was done through the Headwaters deal. And it's a very complex issue, and it was really difficult to get our side of things out into the news media, because the state was, I hate to give them credit, but they were pretty successful in distorting the facts and making it seem like Headwaters was saved and everybody could go home. But in fact, what the deal did was authorize logging of areas that was otherwise prohibited and was previously off limits. And so, what people didn't really get is that a lot of areas that were previously protected are now on the chopping block, and that includes about 10,000 acres of ancient forest habitat.
So talk about that. Since the Headwaters deal, it's come out that Pacific Lumber has a very short-term strategy to liquidate the old growth on all of their land. Can you talk about how that's been proceeding and what the state of the forest is now?
Yeah, they have, when the Headwaters deal was authorized, it was kind of guesstimated that it would take them about a decade to go through the 10,000 acres of marbled murrelet habitat. And these are areas that we actually know that murrelets are nesting in. And so, they have taken full advantage of their permit, and they've actually moved, as we might have guessed, they've moved much quicker than was contemplated under the Headwaters agreement, and they've gone through at a very rapid pace under these permits to liquidate the old growth as fast as they can. Right now, they phased the habitat into what they called low quality, high quality, and occupied, and they're now moving on to the highest quality. And so this case, this delay, is exactly what's allowing this to occur, because We fully believe that once we get this issue before a court, they're going to rule that this permit is invalid, but PL in the meantime is just out there going hog wild and liquidating these areas just as quickly as they can. So it's been very heartbreaking, because we've seen some very, very valuable habitat lost over the last 2 years, And we brought a motion for a preliminary injunction previously in the case, but that was lost. And so it's been a very difficult time, and these endless delays have been extremely frustrating because, you know, we were supposed to have gone to trial last year on this case, and so if it would have proceeded as according to plan, then we would have already had these issues in front of a court and resolved and had a ruling and been done with it. So
many hundreds of acres of ancient forest would still be standing.
Exactly.
Well, so, and one of the things I'm unclear on, well, first I want to say for people who are just tuning in, I'm talking with Cynthia Elkins from EPIC, the Environmental Protection Information Center. They just got a stay from a judge yesterday, a court order that essentially stops all of Pacific Lumber's logging on their entire land because it calls into question their sustained yield plan. And the judge put down a stay. Yep, you heard that right. It's amazing news, but now we're talking about all of the history that led up to it. And Cynthia, I'm curious. I know that EPIC filed the lawsuit, but who are actually the defendants in this case, and what is the role of the California Department of Forestry?
The case is against the California Department of Forestry, as well as the Department of Fish and Game and Pacific Lumber Company. So we're challenging the Department of Forestry's their permits that they authorized, and then the Department of Fish and Game's permits that they authorized, which are the incidental take permits and the stream bed alteration permit. It's kind of a mouthful, but so those two agencies are both named as defendants as well as Pacific Lumber.
Okay, and explain to us how this stay that you got results in all the logging supposedly being stopped, and then we'll talk about the fact that PL isn't stopping and what's going to happen as a result of that.
Right. Well, the wording of the ruling specifically states, quote, no party to this proceeding shall take any action whose validity depends upon the validity of any said approvals. And that's kind of a tongue twister, but it's what the judge is saying there is that no actions, i.e. logging or approval of logging plans or anything like that under these permits can take place at this time until further order from the court.
And so, but you said earlier that Pacific Lumber, that there's been reports from neighbors that Pacific Lumber is continuing to log. What does that mean?
Well, we are assuming that they're probably going to dispute this interpretation of the ruling. We think they're going to have a pretty hard time at it because it is pretty clear what the judge's intent was here. So we're not clear if in fact they are going to dispute that the judge's intent was to halt active logging operations, or if they simply just haven't gotten the word out to the crews yet. This did come out very late yesterday. I didn't find out about it until right at the end of the business day yesterday, and know that some of the Fish and Game attorneys who are directly working on the case weren't even aware of the ruling until this morning, and so it might just be that it hasn't spread out to the workers and the crews out on Pacific Lumber's lands. That's certainly what we hope is the case, because if Pacific Lumber is going to take a different stance, then we will immediately take this to the judge to get clarification.
Well, and that does bring up the next point, which is, of course, stopping all the logging in the woods is a really great thing for the forest because of Pacific Lumber's incredibly horrible liquidation logging policy of the last 15 years. But it's not good news for the people who work in the woods. Has there been a response from the PL workers, or, you know, have they spoken out in any way, or are you afraid that there might be some kind of backlash?
It wouldn't be surprising to see some sort of backlash. I don't know that the workers have specifically heard about this yet. Definitely every time, there's been a lot of mill closures and a lot of layoffs at Pacific Lumber Company over the last year. I'm sure that your listeners have heard a little bit about that. And every time they do that, Pacific Lumber tries to point the finger at us and use us as a scapegoat and say that it's because of EPIC's lawsuits and Earth First actions out in the woods that's shutting them down and putting them out of work, and not fessing up to the fact that it's actually their liquidation logging practices which are putting the workers out of work. And, you know, we basically are seeing the warnings of environmentalists for the last 15 years kind of coming to fruition, and it's a very sad state where the management policies of the company are not only bad for the environment, but they're bad for the workers as well. And so, you know, certainly it's not our intent to hurt the workers in any sort of way, but we know that people who actually are in the woods and know what's going on know that it's not our fault and know that it's the management policies of Charles Hurwitz and the management of Pacific Lumber Company. But a lot of times it's easier to not point the finger at someone who's directly involved in your life, and you know, we're an easy scapegoat on that.
Right. Well, and what's next for this case? I mean, I think that you said the next hearing is September 17th. How long could this stay be in effect?
At least until then. That hearing is over this issue of the administrative record. What's currently happening is the state is claiming that some 400 documents cannot be included in the record for basically because they claim that they are privileged under the attorney-client privilege claim. And so what will happen on the 17th is the judge, it's called an in-camera review, and he'll be physically looking at the documents one by one and determining whether or not the attorney-client privilege clause is appropriately used there. And so he was basically realizing that that's going to be a long process. This issue about the administrative record is not going to be resolved for a while. And he recognized that the public interest is at stake here. And he specifically notes in his ruling that that the forest, the wildlife habitat, and the wildlife is at stake. And if he ultimately rules that these permits are invalid and Pacific Lumber has acted under these permits under in the meantime over these years, then we're not really doing the public justice.
What could happen if they lose? I mean, they've already just destroyed so many thousands of acres of forest under these permits. If they're found illegal, would they have to pay reparations? What would happen to CDF? Could we finally disband it? What would happen here?
We would hope so. I mean, unfortunately, there's been many things in the past where either we've lost a lawsuit and later won it on appeal, or something happened in the future where, you know, it's been pointed out that we were correct, but the trees are gone. And so it's a sick sort of, you know, you don't really get any sense of gratification from that. And, you know, there is still a lot of valuable habitat remaining. And, yes, they're doing a significant amount of damage in the meantime, but there's still a lot out there that's worthwhile to protect. And areas in the Mattol, I mean, they've just been devastating the Mattol over the last month. It's been so heartbreaking. They've just been going in to these ancient Douglas fir stands that have never been entered before and just leveling them so fast. And people have been saying that they have at least 200 logging trucks coming out of there per day.
Oh, my God.
And so we have lost a lot, but there's still a lot out there to protect, and so that's what we're shooting for.
And I just got a note. Apparently Remedy, the tree sitter, called, and the PL started logging at 6:30 this morning today in freshwater and are continuing to log right now as we speak. So clearly they don't think they have a stay.
I would guess that's probably what they're going to try to claim. And until we can, you know, bring them kicking and screaming into thinking otherwise, then, you know, that's what they're going to do.
Okay, well, and how can people help with this? Is there anything that people can do?
Let's see. We need to definitely keep ourselves involved and aware. And now that things are finally going to be progressing on this case, it's very important for people to show up and to show the judge that there is a lot of public concern on this. And so we are hoping that this would be going to full trial this fall. We'll be sending out alerts. It will be in Eureka, so it's not that much of a travel time for folks down there in Mendocino. And really want to encourage people to show up at the trial. That would be a tremendous boost to not only our morale, but we'll definitely show the judge that people care about this as well.
So the September 17th hearing, is that open to the public?
It is. It is. I'm not sure how exciting it will be since it's an in-camera review, but we'll be sending out details on that, and certainly people can call us here at the office as the date gets closer and check in on that. We do still have this threat of the marbled murrelet habitat being logged after the September 15th date arrives, which is when the government determines that murrelets are finished breeding. And so depending on how things play out with this stay, we could see a lot of areas opened at that time. And so, you know, please, folks who are concerned about this issue, keep keep aware and keep in touch with us and join up on our action alert list, and we'll keep you informed and let you know if that happens. And certainly we'll be calling for citizens to make an outpouring of concern and outcry on that.
Okay, well, tell listeners how they can get on your list and also get in touch with you.
You can give us a call. It's 707-923-2931. That's 923-2931. That's the EPIC office. On our webpage, which is wildcalifornia.org, you can sign up for our action alerts there.
Okay, well, Cynthia Elkin from EPIC, thank you so much for the update and good work, and hang on, I'm sure it's going to be a hectic weekend for you.
Yeah, and congratulations to everyone. This is really a victory for all of us as well as all the wild species out there.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yep, thank
Bye.
You.